Matthew 6, beginning at verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what things you have need of even before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. This is what has been known to us as the Lord's Prayer. Pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Powerful. Lord, we thank you today for the privilege of being in your house. Already we have been blessed. We have been strengthened. We've been encouraged. And Lord, I'm asking for your special anointing upon the delivering of this word. This is your word, not mine. And I can't do anything without you, Holy Spirit. We need you today. Touch our minds, touch our hearts. Cause your word to come alive within us. You said my words are spirit and they're life. Let them be spirit and life to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to say some things today that really are going to be very basic and so simple that you could very easily pass over them. You say, well, Pastor, that was so simple and that is so elementary. And you could even consider it to be insignificant and unnecessary. But if you did, that would be to your detriment. Let me just say this today. We often look in the scriptures and we spiritualize the things of God to such a degree that if we're not careful, we will place it out of our own reach. And the truth is, everything that God has provided for us is very close. In fact, Jesus said, the kingdom is at hand. That's pretty close. If it's at hand, it means it's within reach. You can reach it. Look at your neighbor and say, you can reach it. So I believe that just by hearing the message today, you can be healed. You can be delivered. You can be set free. You can receive a miracle in your life today as faith comes alive in your heart to reach out and take a hold of the promises of God. We come to know what I've read to you today as the Lord's Prayer, but actually it is the Lord. It's the pattern that the Lord gave us for our prayer. It was given to us, and what a blessing it is that he would give us this wonderful prayer. And it is the desire, I believe, that the desire of God, the desire of Jesus, that he shared this with his disciples. It is his desire. This would become an integral part of your personal everyday lives. Our prayer lives certainly should not only be restricted to this reading of this passage of scripture, but it gives us the basic guidelines for life. And in this little prayer, short prayer, in this short prayer, Jesus tells us and gives us what he believes is so important and critical that we would pray this back to the Father. And it starts by recognizing and identifying our relationship with God. It says, our Father, oh hallelujah, our Father which art in heaven. He is our Father. Now think about that. This is Jesus. Now you've got to understand something. God had never been called Father until Jesus came. Jesus was the first person that ever called God his Father. And then Jesus says, you can call him your Father too. He's your Father too. Because you are my brothers and you're my sisters. And if you're my brothers and my sisters, then he is our Father. What a relationship. So the Bible says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. So that reality of that relationship should birth within us a great sense of wonder and appreciation that God has chosen us to be His sons and His daughters. This prayer acknowledges something else. It starts by saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven." The prayer acknowledges that God is in heaven. In other words, God is in a dimension that is higher than our dimension. He's not affected. This is good news, because He's not affected by time. He's not affected by space. He's not affected by world climates, a sickness or disease or poverty or lack or anxiety. He's not affected by what happens on Capitol Hill. He's not affected by any of that stuff. He's above it all. He is God. He is supreme. Then He says you're to pray this way. You're to pray that that kingdom that belongs to God, His kingdom, which means His rule, His power, His dominion, and His will, that it will come into manifestation on the earth. Pray this way. Lord, let Your kingdom come. Father, let Your kingdom come, and let Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to ask. Next, He says, ask for your daily bread. God is concerned about your needs. He says, ask for your daily bread. Know that God cares about you. Know that He's a provider. Know that He will meet your needs. Know that according to the scripture, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Know that He takes care of the sparrows. And if He takes care of the sparrows and He takes care of the lilies of the field that toil not, neither do they spin, He will take care of you. Amen. He's your Father. So He says, ask. Let your needs be known unto Him. And then the next thing He does is He introduces us to the fact that Christianity does not just reach up, but also across. In other words, our relationship with people is a reflection of our relationship with God. Remember, He says, forgive us our debts. What He's saying is, we can't hate the people God created and love God at the same time. It works both ways, horizontal and vertical. Jesus said that we're to pray, forgive us our debts, or forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Isn't it interesting? He starts it by saying, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our trespasses. Because He wants us to be conscious of the fact that we have forgiveness through Him. He has been merciful to us. So we're supposed to be merciful to others. So He's introducing us to this relationship that is vertical and horizontal. You can't be at odds with God's children and be in close fellowship with God. Unforgiveness, bitterness, hate, criticism, vengeance are all diseases of the heart, and they will separate you from God's presence. Relationship with God, as I said, is both vertical and horizontal. The purer my love is for God, the purer my love will be for my fellow man. Even the fellow man like Paul, who called in and attacked Brother Jack. We still love them. The Bible says, even those who despitefully use you and persecute you, you're supposed to bless them and pray for them. That's not always easy, but that's what Jesus said to do. Then He says this. He says, pray this way. He said, lead us not into temptation. He says, pray this way. Pray, Lord, lead us, Father, lead us not. Holy Spirit, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You got to know, God cannot be tempted with sin. And the Bible is clear, He never tempts us to sin. But by praying this prayer, we're inviting God to lead us into the paths of righteousness. We're inviting God to take the lead and to lead us in the right paths. Deliver us from evil, Jesus said. Evil thoughts, evil attitudes, evil people, evil words, evil plots, evil schemes and traps. And you got to understand something about this. One of the reasons you need to pray this is because evil doesn't always look evil. Yeah. It doesn't always sound evil. Many times evil appears very acceptable and appealing, and evil can even sound logical. So we're to pray for God to deliver us from evil. That means we're trusting God to deliver us from all that is evil, even when it doesn't look evil. If He esteems it evil, we're trusting Him to deliver us from all evil. Hallelujah. There's just something about us sometimes in human nature. We tend to look at things a little differently than God does. And we need His eye on the situation. In fact, the Bible says, guide me with your eye. Hallelujah. So let me say something about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is impervious to anything that the devil or any of his workers would ever try to do. The kingdom of God is supernatural. It's around. It's above the influence or the effects of darkness and evil. All the combined power of hell cannot move a leaf in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God itself is the domain and the dominion of God, backed by God's own throne. And one ray of light shining from the kingdom of God can destroy the greatest strongholds of darkness. But all of the darkness of Satan's kingdom combined and multiplied cannot even dim a candle in the kingdom of God. Woo! Hallelujah! I tell you what, that's some good news. The kingdom of God is impervious to what the devil is doing in the earth. The kingdom of God is supreme. The kingdom of God is authority. The kingdom of God is above it all. And He says, pray this way. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is to be the heart and soul of our prayers. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not just, Lord, please come and get me out of this mess. But Lord, make a difference in the earth. Let us be salt and light. Let your kingdom come, and let your will be done in us, through us, on the earth as it is in heaven. Now remember this. The will of God is always done in heaven. It is carried out completely, instantly, without one ounce of opposition or resistance. It is always done in heaven. The same is not true for the earth. The will of God must be secured in the earth. In other words, it must be sought out and it must be desired. It must be contended for. The will of God is not automatic. If it was, there would be no need to pray for it to come and to be done. It must be secured. It must be important to you. Everybody say, it's important to me. Now I'm going to say something else. Now Jesus says, this is the way you should pray. But I have to say this, it's not simply enough. It's not enough to simply pray a blanket prayer for the will of God to be done in the earth. We must become acquainted with what the will of God is.
Yep. Amen.
You understand? It's not enough for us just to say, well, I'm going to make that a part of my life. I'm going to pray that prayer every day. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's good, but that's not near enough. You've got to become acquainted with what His will is.
Yes.
Everyone say, I want to know His will. Faith begins where the will of God is known. That's the starting point of faith. God has plainly revealed His will in His word. Until you have the simple basic knowledge of God's will in a matter, faith cannot exist. You can only believe God for something He has said. Faith is taking God at His word. Once the will of God is known in a matter, faith must act and manifest authority to bring the kingdom and the will of God into manifestation. Satan's kingdom, which is darkness, sickness, disease of every kind, addiction. addictions, perversions, bondages, lust, fear, poverty, lack, depression, anger, bitterness, all of it. It all stands in opposition to the kingdom of God, which is light and peace and joy and righteousness and hope and love and mercy and kindness and healing and prosperity and freedom. So the kingdom of God must be enforced in the earth. Look at somebody say, you may not know this, but I'm an enforcer. You remember that little potato chip commercial years ago? This guy come out riding a goose and he has his whip. You may not believe this, but my name is Granny Goose. In other words, I may not look like Granny Goose, but I am. Well, I may not look like an enforcer, but I am. Look at your neighbor and say, don't judge by the cover.
Don't judge by the cover.
I am an enforcer. I'm called, I'm chosen, I'm appointed, and I'm anointed to enforce the kingdom of God in the earth over the kingdom of darkness. There's no telling what good was done by what Brother Jack did the other day just by stepping up. There is no telling what ripples went through hell and what was demolished in the power in the kingdom of darkness by that light shining forth. Just taking a step out there and letting that light shine. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Basically, what God is saying is, I have authorized you and I have given you authority to enforce the kingdom of God in the earth. And here's how you do it. You bind and you loose. Everybody say, bind and loose.
Bind and loose.
Say, I've got authority and I know how to use it. Say, I've got keys. And I know how to use it. See, in order for this authority to work, you must be in agreement with heaven. Heaven has already decided what is right and what is wrong. Heaven has already decided what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. When you bind what heaven has declared to be wrong, then God says, I will back it up. I will bind it from this dimension. And when you lose what heaven has declared to be right and good, God says, I will back you up and I will loose it from the dimension of heaven. In this way, we become workers together with God to bring the kingdom of God and the will of God into the earth.
Yeah.
The key to operating powerfully and effectively in the kingdom of God is to always be in sync with heaven. The key to the success of Jesus' ministry is he always operated in perfect union and harmony with heaven. He had binding and loosing power because he always spoke and acted in perfect harmony with the will of the Father. Jesus said, I only speak what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. And this tells us Jesus' actions on earth were in perfect harmony with the will of the Father in heaven. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to stay in sync. It's critical. It's critical. It is the secret of success. It's not just a Jesus thing. It's a kingdom thing. Everybody say it's a kingdom thing.
It's a kingdom thing.
Because the kingdom is in us. That's what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is within you. Now hold on to your seats. Because I want to say something. You're not going to be able to manifest kingdom power and authority on the earth if God's kingdom will is not being obeyed in your own life. You can't be an internal rebel against the will of God for your life and have external power to bring the kingdom and God's will to someone else's life. You have to first be living under the government of heaven. To have authority over hell, you have to be under the authority of heaven. Jesus always did the Father's will. And you say, yeah, but that was Jesus. He knew the Father's will. He had an interest sidetrack. He was the Son of God. But listen, when you say that, what we're doing is making the inference that we don't have the same advantage Jesus had. And we're inferring that the will of God is somehow hidden from us and harder for us to know than it was for Jesus to know. So, the problem with that is, it's wrong. Look at James and say, that's wrong.
That's wrong.
Now, that's the problem with that. It is totally wrong, completely wrong, because the truth is the will of God can be easily known and discerned today, and we can walk right over the top of it because it is so easy to discern. We can just stomp right over it because we're looking for something harder. We're looking for something more spiritual. But the simple truth is all you have to do to know the will of God is look at Jesus. Hey, just look at Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, look at Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the Word of God. He is the will of God. He was the will of God in action. The Word is the will. Everybody say, the Word is the will. Say, you want to know the will? Look at the Word. It's simple. To know the will of God, you read the Word. The Word reveals Jesus. The Word reveals God's will. The Bible tells us Jesus is the express image of God. That means that Jesus took the invisible nature and will of the Father God, and He gave it hands, and He gave it feet, and He gave it a voice, and He called it Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus was the will of God in action. We don't have to fast 40 days and 40 nights to know what God's will is concerning sickness and disease and demonic bondage and oppression and poverty and lack. All we have to do is look at Jesus.
Amen.
He was the will of God in the earth. Jesus was the kingdom of God in action. Jesus was God's will fully manifested and demonstrated in the earth. Open Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Follow Jesus through the cities and countrysides. Watch the will of God being done by Him perfectly, completely, and continuously.
Yeah, that's right.
Someone said, well, Pastor, if I just knew it was God's will to heal me, I believe I would be healed. Well, friend, read the book. Look at Jesus. He never turned one sick person away. Never. Never did He look at one that came to Him and sought His mercy, the mercy of healing. Never did He look at them and say, you haven't suffered long enough. You go home and suffer 6 more months. After 6 months, come back and we'll see what we can do about it. He never looked at one and said, your problem is not serious enough. You have to wait until it gets real bad. When it gets real bad, then you come back and we'll see if we can do something about it. And He never looked at one and said, you're so bad that you're beyond help. The leper, the Bible said, he came to Him. He didn't just say he had leprosy. He said he was full of leprosy. He was full of leprosy. And the Bible didn't say, Jesus looked at him and said, oh my God, you're too far gone. The Bible said, Jesus looked at him. He said to Jesus, if you want to. If you want to. Isn't that amazing? He didn't even question Jesus' ability to do it. He just said, if you want to, Master, if you want to, you can make me well. Hallelujah. You can heal me if you want to. And Jesus said, I will. That's it right there. I will. I will that you be healed. I will that you be well. I will that you be strong. I will that you be blessed. I will that you prosper. And then the Bible says He put forth His hand and He touched him. And immediately the leprosy left his body. And he was made whole. We don't have to wonder what God's will is concerning healing. If you come to me asking for me to pray for you about healing, I am not going to put my hand on you and say, Father God, hey, we're just human vessels. And you know that we are so finite in our understanding that we don't know if it is actually your will to heal this beloved one or not. But we're just asking you, if it is your will, would you heal them? The devil is a liar. I'm telling you right now, the devil is, there are people that believe that. There are people that preach that. There are people that pray that way. I will not pray that way. I will pray, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, by your stripes we were healed. You took our infirmities. You bore our sicknesses. You paid the price. I know what your will is in this matter. I curse this sickness. I command it to die. Let healing power flow through this body according to your will. In the name of Jesus, be made whole. I can't control how God does what he does, when he does it, in what measure he does it. One thing I have learned is there are many resources, one source. God can use doctors. God can use medicine. God can use all these things. Or God can do it without using any of them. I don't know why God does things certain ways sometimes. But what I do know is my part is just to believe his will. Just to trust in the will. And just to pray for that will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praying the Lord's Prayer is the perfect foundation for experiencing the kingdom of God and the manifesting the will of God in the earth. This prayer opens the way for the power of God to be manifested, because God doesn't do anything until somebody prays. Next, it brings our heart into agreement with heaven. It gets us ready to act in agreement with heaven. The kingdom of God must be enforced in the earth. The kingdom very well may be present in the earth and in a place, but nothing will happen until someone enforces it.
Right.
The way we enforce the kingdom is with words of faith. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue must release words of faith. Binding and loosing are not mental exercises. They are spiritual orders that are executed by speaking.
Yes.
You can't bind the devil with good thoughts. What are you doing? I'm thinking good thoughts. The devil goes, oh. You should think good thoughts. I think it's important. I really do. It's good for you. It's good for your body. It's good for everything. It's good for you. But the devil is not moved by your good thoughts. You got to open your mouth. And you got to tell him, get off my family. Get off my children. Get off my finances. Get off my body. Get out of my house. Get out of my life. I bind you. I rebuke you. I reject you. Get lost, loser. You got to tell him. The devil will do anything he can get away with. He will go as far as you let him. You say, but Jesus is going to come and he's going to help me. He already did. He did as much as he could do. He took 39 stripes on his back. He let them beat him mercilessly until he was unrecognizable as a man. And he went to the grave and he suffered in your place. And after the humans beat him, the demons beat up on him. But then he came back out of hell and he rose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And he said, now I give unto you power, and you can tread on serpents and scorpions. And I give unto you the keys of the kingdom, and you're the one that's going to bind, and you're the one that's going to loose.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not mental exercises. The devil doesn't obey strong mental impressions. He obeys commands of faith spoken with authority. Matthew 8:16-17 says, when the evening was come, they brought unto Jesus many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the demons with good thoughts. It said he cast out the spirits with his word. You want to know how to cast out a devil? You open your mouth. You want to cast down thoughts and imaginations? You open your mouth.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
You war with your mouth.
Yeah.
See, my mouth is a weapon.
My mouth is a weapon.
I know how to use it. I fill it with the word.
And I speak it.
So these were verbal authoritative commands coming from the mouth of Jesus, and demons left, and he healed all that were sick, the Bible says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. In Psalms 107:20, it said he sent his word, not just good thoughts, but he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. How did Jesus curse the fig tree? He opened his mouth and spoke to it. Jesus said, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and not doubt in their heart, but believe the things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Everybody say, I'm going to say it.
I'm
going to
say it.
Say, I believe it.
I believe it.
And I'm going to say it. Mountains are moved with faith in God. Words of faith spoken from a believing heart. Mountains represent anything contrary to the will of God. Anything that God has identified in his word as being contrary to his will can be moved by faith in God and words of faith spoken from a believing heart. Now let me say this. It's not our faith or our words that does the work. It's the power of God that does the work. It's not my faith that does the work. My faith is just the hookup. Everybody say it's the hookup to the power. It's not my faith. It's not my power. It's his power that does the work. But we access the power of God by faith. We access the kingdom of God by faith. And the simple truth is, if you and I don't release words of faith and speak to the mountains in our lives, they are not going anywhere. Your job, my job, is not to heal, it's not to deliver, it's not to produce miracles. Our job is to give God access to do his work by agreeing with heaven and releasing words of faith.
Yes, amen.
I'm not the healer, Jesus is. I'm not the deliverer. Jesus is. But he said, I'm going to lay my hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said, in my name you shall cast out devils. I'm not saying this to be mean, but just truthful. There are multitudes in the church. Some here who never cast out a devil. Never have the joy of seeing someone healed because you laid your hands on them and rebuked sickness or disease. Never see someone delivered because you took authority and broke the yoke of bondage or addictions over their life. And the truth is, that describes the majority of the church world. But it's not because they can't have it. It's not because they can't be used that way. It's just because you have to decide how bad you want it. How bad do you really want it? You have to want the power of God. You have to desire the anointing enough to go after it. You have to want to participate with God. You have to want to get people healed and delivered. You have to want to lay your hands on the sick and see them recover. You have to hate the devil's works enough to want to be a partner in bringing in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah! I'm not, listen to this, I'm not saying you have to cast out devils, heal sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead in order to go to heaven. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that the kingdom of God is in us, but it will never be manifested in the earth unless we choose to cooperate with God. Everybody say,
I choose
to be a partner
with God,
to bring his kingdom into manifestation in the earth. Now listen, watch this. I'm going to show you something. Many times, we pray the Lord's Prayer, and then without even knowing it, very often, we stand in the way of our own prayer being answered. Because we won't let God use us to manifest the kingdom. We pray, Lord, let your kingdom come, and he's saying, He said, I'm trying to get out of you. You have to let it come. He said, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to get out of you. I'm trying to get out through your hands. I'm trying to get out through your mouth. Do you know that the kingdom of God can be so real and present in your life that his power can shine through your eyes?
Yeah. Yes, Jesus.
His kingdom can be so real and present in your being that his power can be manifested through your breath. This is my perception, I'm telling you. The majority of the church world wants miracles. It's not that we don't want miracles. It's not that we don't want healing. It's not that we don't want deliverance and signs and wonders. It's just that the majority just want it through someone else.
Right.
We want it, but we want it through someone else.
Yeah.
We want deliverance, but we want someone else to be the one that does the delivering. We want healing, but we want someone else to lay their hands on us so we can get the healing. We want to be the beneficiaries. Of the blessings, just not the channel or the instrument of the blessing. But I got to tell you something. God is not just looking for beneficiaries. God is looking for partners in the word. I wonder, I'm almost done, what would change in the church today if God were to say, from this moment on, the kingdom of God will only be manifested in the earth on an individual basis, and only in accordance with your personal participation. In other words, only what comes through you will benefit you.
Yeah.
Wow. What? I just wonder how much changes would happen. Only your prayer. Now stay with me. I'm not saying this is what it's doing. I'm just saying, suppose. Only your prayer, only your faith, only your participation, no one else's prayers, no one else's anointing, no one else's faith. Wow. That's heavy duty right there. What if God said, what if God says to you, says, you want healing? Yes, Lord, I want to be healed. He said, well then, let healing come out of you. Said, but I was going to go to the church and get prayed for. Nope, I'm not accepting their prayer. It's got to come through you. You need a deliverance. You need to get rid of a habit. You say, well, I'm going to get somebody. They're going to lay hands on me. I know I believe in this ministry. They've got a powerful ministry of deliverance. And the Lord says, nope. It's got to come through you. The kingdom is in you.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't say that was what he was going to do. I said, just think about that. I wonder what changes would happen in the church if that's what God did. If God said everything from now on had to be through you, for you. If it's going to touch you, it has to be through you. You know what I think? So many times we get used to reaching out and calling, touching other people, touching other ministries, touching other anointings, pulling on other commitment, consecration, dedication for to be a beneficiary and not actually be a partner in the work. So what am I saying? I'm saying this. There are a lot of spiritual hitchhikers in the church. People who are riding on someone else's prayers, someone else's consecration, someone else's faithfulness, someone else's anointing. So what would happen if God were to say, only those who are living by Paul's life's philosophy are going to go to heaven. No lukewarm, no half-baked, no hitchhikers, no half-in, no half-outers, no half-hearted or indifferent. From this moment on, only the ones who are pressing and pursuing and passionate and fully obedient and fully submitted and fully yielded, and only those who are living to the fullest of their ability and walking in the light they have received are going to heaven. I wonder. I wonder what difference it would make. I wonder what difference it would make. I wonder if we would say, oh my Lord, I better step it up. I better step it up. Let me just say this. I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't believe God's going to lay down that line. But I believe it would rejoice the heart of God if we started living like it was true.
Yeah, amen.
Would you stand? to tell you what would happen. One of the first things that would happen, it would put the devil in intensive care. He would be so shocked, he'd go into cardiac arrest. He wouldn't have a moment's peace. He would have nightmares of the churches flooding the streets, healing the sick, casting out devils, delivering the bound and the oppressed. He would probably put in for early retirement. Here's my closing thought. Have you ever thought that God is actually looking to us to answer the prayer we just prayed? That's not the only place he did that. There's another place he did that. He said, they say that the fields 6 months and then they'll be ready for harvest. But he said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look, for behold, the fields are already white and the harvest, but the labors are few. Therefore pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he may send forth labors into his field. What was he saying? He said, I want you to pray so you can be the answer to your prayer. He's not saying, pray, Lord, send Sister Lynn into the harvest field. Lord, send Brother Jack out in the harvest field. Lord, send Brother Chris up. He said, you pray that he would send forth labors, and then you line up and say, here I am, Lord. And you become the answer to your own prayer. That's what Jesus was doing with this Lord's Prayer. He wasn't just trying to get us to pray to God to do all these things. He was getting us in sync with heaven so God could do these things through us to bring the kingdom into manifestation. Say with me, if you mean it in your heart, say, Lord Jesus, I want to fulfill that prayer. I want to be the answer to that prayer. I want to be the light in the darkness. I want to be the salt in this earth. I want to be your hands and your feet. I want to be your eyes and your ears. I want your heart to be manifest in me and through me. Lord, let me be the answer to the Lord's Prayer. Let me be one of those who answer that prayer. Let me be one of those laborers that answers that prayer and goes into the harvest field. Lord, you can count on me. I want to be your partner in the work of the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Can you just praise him right now? All over this house, just praise him right now. Hallelujah. 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 One of the most powerful passages of scriptures in the Bible. I think we should pray it daily. Not just so we can get God to get busy, but so we can cooperate with God to see his prayer answered. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when you pray that prayer, don't be surprised if you don't feel that little touch. No, it's for you. You're the one today I want to use. Don't be surprised. You're praying that prayer. Say, oh Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done. He says, okay, I'm going to use you today. I'm going to use you today. Well, but Lord, I was wanting you to use Brother Jack. God, your hands up on Brother Jack. He talks good. He's a good speaker. You could use Brother Jack. Oh, God says, I'm just looking for the available. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. All you have to do is say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Can you do that all over this house? Would you just lift your hands as we're closing today and just pray this prayer? Lord, here I am. Send me. Lord, here I am. Send me. You know where the needs are. You know the hearts that are broken. You know the lives, Lord, that are in shambles. You know those people who need hope, Lord, and they need help, God. Lord, we just yield to you. We submit ourselves to you. Let your kingdom come. And let your will be done in us as it is in heaven. Holy Spirit, we love you. We need you. We can't do anything without you, but you're not going to do anything without us. It's a partnership. And we thank you today, Lord. We can be your partners. In Jesus.